I've been looking forward to coming to be with you tonight because so many parishes and schools and other families and others have entered into this invitation on the 50th anniversary of our diocese, which will be celebrated in a major way on the 2nd of December, have entered into my invitation to do a consecration, a Marian consecration, which always entails a consecration to Jesus through Mary. To do this is a great blessing in our lives because it helps us to imitate the Mother of God, who is described in the church's documents as the first disciple. And that's because of precisely tonight's gospel passage, because more than any other disciple, she was the one who kept all the commandments, who was always living a full life of grace. So what you're doing together here and in your homes and your families is a very beautiful thing to God, and I rejoice to be with you tonight. We're told that when Mary was 3 years of age, her parents, Joachim and Anne, presented her to God in the temple in Jerusalem. This was a major event. They would have been preparing for this from the time she was born, probably even before that. They had waited years to have a child. They had prayed to God. And then finally, the Lord had blessed them with this child. More than they ever could have imagined, actually, because in their mother's womb, she had been preserved from all sin. We call that the Immaculate Conception. That wasn't known. God was working in a hidden way. And even Mary at age 3 would not have known that. We just are aware that because she had no sin, unlike all the rest of us since Adam and Eve, there would have been a sensitivity to what's good and beautiful and holy that would have made her rejoice. And you can imagine a little 3-year-old, she must have been just full of excitement and joy when she entered the temple. So the consecration of Mary took place in a temple. But what's very striking is that when the first temple was destroyed, God promised through the prophet that he himself would provide a temple. And everybody thought it would look like this huge, huge building. But the temple of all temples, the place for God to dwell, was the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary. So as she came into the temple today, the temple came into the temple. But the human beings, for the honor and glory of God, that's what was happening that day. And we celebrate it throughout the whole church because it teaches us something about how God is very active and present when we don't see him, but where a real life is growing and taking place. Jesus was going to dwell in Mary in a wondrous way. And already at age 3, this is in a little way foreshadowed by the celebration of this simple family, this husband and wife, their only child, being brought and presented to the Lord, which is to say, this is your gift to us. We bring this child here today to recognize that and to thank you and to promise that we will do all we can so that this child will always give you glory and honor and embrace the vocation you have in mind. St. John Paul II used to say he loved to call Mary the first tabernacle of the world, which she was. Within her for 9 months, Jesus was present there. She was the Ark of the New Covenant. So they built this ark in the Old Testament to carry what was the tablets of the Ten Commandments, which represented the covenant God made with his people, his promise that he would always be with his people. So the Ark of the Covenant represented that. But she, above all, was the Ark of the Second New Covenant. This new family of God was created through her beloved son's death on the cross and resurrection. And when every one of us are baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit, we become part of that covenant. that people of God. She was the dwelling place of the Most High. All these wonderful titles. So we honor Mary as the Mother of God. But we also honor her as the Mother of the Church. Because as Jesus was dying on the cross, he said to the beloved disciple, which is intended for every one of us beloved disciples to hear, "Behold your mother." So she's our mother too. Even greater reason to make a consecration to Jesus through her, because she's leading us to do exactly that. That's the great gift of Mary. As our mother, she intercedes for us constantly. What a help. We're never alone. This is a great, great blessing. She helps us understand the words of St. Paul that he wrote in his first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 3, verse 16, where he wrote, "Did you not know that your body is a temple?" This is how Mary's the first disciple. God created every one of our bodies to be the place that he dwells. That's how a home really becomes a place of helping others discover the presence of God, the love of God, when our own bodies, we live in such a way that within us, his presence shines forth through our words, through our attitudes, through our actions. St. Paul goes on to write, "You're not your own. You've been purchased at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body." So he wrote this to the Corinthians, and a large part of Corinth was made up of slaves. The Romans would come in, they'd conquer everybody with their big, powerful army, and then they'd just say, "You're all our slaves now. Now, if you do all of these things for this many years, you can buy freedom." So Paul, writing this to the Corinthians, this little Christian community in Corinth, these had a lot of meaning. "You've been purchased at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. You're no longer at all a slave." When Jesus sets us free from sin in baptism or later on in great gift of confession, we're set free so that this freedom allows us to glorify God in our body, the temple that he's given to us. The prophet Zechariah, in our first reading today, provides us with the exactly right words for us to say. The first verse, "Sing and rejoice, O daughter Zion. See, I'm coming to dwell among you, says the Lord." That's what our heart desires to do. Even if our voice isn't that good, we were made to sing God's praises. "Sing and rejoice, O daughter Zion. See, I'm coming to dwell among you, says the Lord." And when we make a consecration to Jesus through Mary, he comes to dwell even more in us because we've consecrated our bodies, our temples, to him and invited him even more profoundly than ever before to dwell there, following the example of Mary. Mary knew by faith that every blessing she had came from God, that it was all a gift. She didn't earn anything. Before she was, at the moment of conception, she was given this complete freedom from sin. And then she was preserved by the power of God's grace at work within us. So she sings of the mercy of God. And it's our honor and our privilege to join in to that song of praise that Mary has. That's why at the last part, the last verse of today's first reading, the prophet Zechariah says, "Silence, all mankind, in the presence of the Lord. For he stirs forth from his holy dwelling." There should be within us a more eagerness to have silence so so that we're attentive to what the Lord is doing and how he's coming near to us. You know, if you get out your, if you have a catechism of the Catholic Church, it's only about that thick. The second verse, the very second sentence of the very first paragraph says this: at every time and in every place, God draws near to each person. He's coming to his temple. Every one of us are created to be his temple. At every time and in every place. So silence, so that we can be more aware, not distracted by noise, of the presence of the Lord, all mankind in the presence of the Lord, for he stirs forth from his holy dwelling. Adoration is what this asks us to do. And adoration is our grateful response for all the blessings God has poured down upon us. After doing 33 days of praying and preparing to make the consecration, we should be filled with a great desire to adore him together with Mary and with the shepherds who were the first to be called by the angels to go to Bethlehem. And then came the Magi, who traveled all those many, many miles across the desert for one purpose only: to bow down and pay him homage, to adore him. They knew that was the greatest thing that a human being could do. The Blessed Virgin Mary shows us how to do that. So when she sings her Magnificat, when she's visiting Elizabeth, remember, she sings that beautiful song that's been put to music in more languages than any other hymn or any other song in the history of the world. She said this, she sang this: my soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. The Almighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. That's what our soul sings. You know, they say that the hardest moment for an atheist is when he sees beautiful world around him and he doesn't have anybody to thank. We do. And we're the temple. And temples are where you go to praise and thank and give adoration to God. Let's look just for a second at the gospel passage. Because in the gospel, Jesus reminds us that our praise of God must not only be in words, but it must be also in deeds, in what we do. He was told that your mother and your brothers are outside. So referring to the larger family from Nazareth that's come. And he says, who are my mother and my brothers and my sisters? And then he looked at all of those around who were listening to him at that point, like you're doing now to the word of God. And he said, here are my mother and my brothers and sisters. For whoever does the will of my heavenly Father is my brother and my sister and my mother. That's our dignity. That's our deepest identity. We are brothers and sisters of Jesus. We're sons and daughters of the Father because of Jesus, the eternal Son, becoming human through Mary, taking flesh through her, so that we could be a faithful disciple. Whoever obeys Jesus' words has this relationship with him that's deeper than the relationship that comes through our natural family. It's a deeper relationship when the Holy Spirit comes to dwell within us. Mary tells us something that's her last words recorded in sacred scripture. We're at the wedding of Cana, and the last thing she said, the last things recorded, is this: do whatever he tells you. Do whatever he tells you. We can never go wrong doing that. He's the eternal word of God. His word is always what the Father wants to say to us. So if we come in and have silence as we listen before his presence in the Eucharist, or throughout the Eucharist as we pay attention to the reading of God's word, that's what we're doing. And then when we go out and live that, we're doing whatever he tells us to do. So making an act of consecration to Jesus through Mary It's an act of faith. It's an act of love. It's an act of hope for what we hope to have for all eternity. It's an expression of gratitude for the great gift of our faith. And it helps us say with St. Faustina, Jesus, I trust in thee.